Please take your Bibles with me and turn to John chapter 19. John 19, and please follow along as I read verse 30, but let's go back a couple of more verses. Start at 28 through 30. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things had already been accomplished in order that the Scriptures might be fulfilled, said, "I am thirsty." A jar full of sour wine was standing there, so they put a sponge full of the sour wine upon a branch of hyssop and brought it up to his mouth. When Jesus, therefore, had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we know that before the throne above we have a strong and perfect plea. We thank you that the Lord Jesus, having died, arose, and ascended, and now stands at the right hand in our behalf. O Lord Jesus, look on us with pity, and let us hear your word, and give us ears, and give us hearts. Oh, may it be that we would have our appetites whetted to eat the Lord's table in a way that would be pleasing to you. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Time. Time is a very elastic thing. A tiny moment can contain colossal content in it. It's often been confirmed by people who have been rescued from drowning that the mind of a drowning man is wildly active. One man reported having for a time been struggling in the water, having lost consciousness, and then having been resuscitated. He reported that his entire life passed before his mind while he was sinking, and that if anyone had asked him how long he had been in the water, he would have said 20 years, where in reality he'd only been there for a moment or two. But in that moment or two, his whole life passed before his mind. You see, colossal content can be packed into a tiny moment. And so it is with our Lord Jesus on the cross. In his fourth excellent saying from the cross, he shouted out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" in Matthew 27:46. You see, on the cross, the Son of God was bearing the sins of the world on his shoulders, and while hanging, he was absorbing the just and infinite wrath of God against the sin of God's elect, the wrath that they deserved. He who knew no sin, as it says in 2 Corinthians 5, became a sin bearer for us. And so in that moment on the cross, Jesus was thrust into outer darkness to endure our hell, that our debt might be paid and that our flames might be quenched. You may ask the question, though, but how? How could Christ, in so short a time, bear the suffering which would be equivalent to the eternal torments of hell for an uncountable number of souls? How could that be in so small a time there on the cross? How? Well, as one man has said, for a moment in eternity, there was eternity packed into a moment. And into that tiny moment, Christ packed in a colossal work. There's an ancient Arabian fairy tale that tells of a hero being awakened at night by a spectacular white-winged horse which then swept the hero off of his sofa on which he was sleeping in his bedroom and carried him away on a multi-million mile journey, an adventure that was filled with great drama. And while the horse was departing from the hero's bedroom, the horse's wing had tipped over a vase of water. And we find that the whole elaborate adventure was somehow experienced in the fragment of a second as the hero returned from this great adventure to his bedroom in time enough to snatch the glass, the vase of water, before even a drop spilled. See, a multi-million mile journey and a great adventure somehow was packed into a tiny little moment. And so during the brief time on the cross, Jesus was on a hellish nightmare of a mission. He was on a mission to outer darkness and back. And then he uttered, "It is finished." That's just one word in the Greek. Tetelestai. Tetelestai. It is finished. And John Flavel says, there's an ocean of matter in that one drop of language. It is finished. So let's unpack the significance of this saying, "It is finished." John 19:30, under four main heads. What does "it is finished" mean? Four heads. First, all prophecies are fulfilled. All prophecies are fulfilled. From Genesis to Malachi were advertised certain types and shadows and promises of redemption. And all of them are finished right here in Christ. In the Old Testament, in the time of Israel's sojourning, there was the brazen serpent that was lifted up, and those who had been snake-bitten, John 3, all they needed to do is look to it and they would live, fulfilled here in Christ being lifted up. The burnt offering, that male bull, Leviticus 4, that was offered up for iniquities, fulfilled here. The sin offering, which is consumed outside the camp, Jesus dying in Golgotha, outside the city, Hebrews 13, fulfilled here. The Passover lamb who takes away the sins of the world, fulfilled here. The prophet like Moses who would be raised up, Deuteronomy 18, here he is. The champion like Joshua who would give rest to the people of God, here he is. The priest like Aaron who would represent God's people on his breastplate before God, here he is, fulfilled, finished, here. The king who would slay a Goliath like David, here he is. The wiser than Solomon, here he is. The Noah who would build a vessel that was seaworthy enough to save the people of God from the flood of God's wrath, here he is. A Judah who would imprison himself for his brothers, here he is. A Joseph who would save many people alive, here he is. It is finished in the Lord Jesus. The scapegoat who would bear the sin of the people outside of the camp, further and further and further into the wilderness until it was no more. It is finished and fulfilled here. And even as Pastor Burnett read about those two birds because of the leprosy, the two birds, one was slain, his blood was put into a bowl, and the other had its wing tips reddened and he was set loose to fly over the field, a dying, resurrected Lord Jesus, fulfilled here in the Lord Jesus. The manna and showbread that would feed the 12 tribes of Israel, finished here. The tabernacle of God, God dwelling among us and atoning for our sins, it is fulfilled here. Everything in the Old Testament, it is finished here. A child born of a virgin, it's here, born in Bethlehem, fulfilled in Christ. riding on a colt, a man of sorrows, a lamb led to the slaughter, one who is silent before the shearers, pierced for our transgressions, finished. It's all fulfilled here, Jesus is saying. Notice John 19:28. As he read it, says, Jesus, knowing all things, had already been accomplished. That's the same word, tetelestai, accomplished. All things had already been accomplished in order that the Scriptures might be fulfilled. He was fulfilling the Scriptures. He came, He accomplished it. He finished it. All the prophetic types were fulfilled in Him. It is finished. So what does it mean, it is finished? Well, first, all prophecies are fulfilled. Second, all sacrifices are abolished. All sacrifices are abolished. Arguably, the earliest known saint in the Scriptures is Abel. And Abel watched for a long time after he was slain by his brother Cain. He went to be with the Lord. And he watched for centuries. He watched for millennia, this seemingly endless parade of offerings that were thrown onto altars, sacrificed up to God. His own beasts were thrown on an altar. He saw the blood pour out, and he saw the aroma going up to God. He watched from his heavenly perch Noah's clean animals upon exiting from the ark. There they went down the gangplank of the ark to be slaughtered, the clean ones, and to be offered up. He saw Abram and the way that he split in half the heifer and the ram and the birds, and he had to clear things away so that the vultures wouldn't come upon those sacrifices. In his dream, he saw this smoking oven go between them, God declaring a self-destruction upon himself if he didn't keep his covenant with Noah. Blood and sacrifice being offered up. He, Abel, watched Isaac being taken up to a mountaintop in the region of Moriah. He was to be a sacrifice. And he saw Jacob returning from his distant place in Haran to come back eventually to Bethel, there to offer up a sacrifice to God. And Abel watched those annual Passover sacrifices. And Abel watched year after year those annual atonement sacrifices. He watched the dedication of the temple during Solomon's day in 1 Kings chapter 8, where it says there were on that day 22,000 oxen sacrificed and 120,000 sheep offered up, the rivers of blood and the parade of sacrifices that Abel watched century after century into the first century now. And Abel asked the question of the Lord, or maybe some angel there in heaven, will there ever be enough bloodshed? Well, when will the violence stop? When will there ever be enough? When will there be enough carnage? And the answer would be, look there on Golgotha. Here's where it stops, right here. It is finished. It's finished. All sacrifices are abolished here. Hebrews 10:12 says, He, having offered one sacrifice for sins for all time, sat down. Priests who have work to do don't sit down. Haven't for centuries. Haven't for millennia. He, Christ, having offered one sacrifice for sins for all time, sat down at the right hand of God. Sacrifices are done, done, done. It is finished. So what does this mean, it is finished? Well, all prophecies are fulfilled. All sacrifices are abolished. Thirdly, all obedience is perfected. All obedience is perfected. Philippians 2:8 says, He, Jesus, became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Jesus, the last Adam, did what the first Adam didn't do, and that was obey the word of the Father perfectly. perfectly to the last deed. We see in Christ, you think of his life, it dates way back to his wiggling in that manger in Bethlehem. Jesus engaged all his life in an active obedience to the Father. He never had any other gods before him. Never, never made a graven image with hand or with thought. Never took his Father's name in vain. Never violated the Sabbath. Never dishonored his parents. Never did any harm to any man with hand or anger in murder, but loved all beyond himself. Never even a hint of sexual immorality in him. Never stole a single thing, but gave everything. No falsehood was found in his mouth, only truth. And he was ever content with his lot, though he had no place to lay his head. Perfectly kept the law of his Father with active obedience. But then there was this passive obedience, which means he passively laid down to offer himself up. We see that shadow of him in the Old Testament. You see fleet-footed Isaac up on the top of that hill in the region of Moriah, which is the same place where Golgotha was, by the way. And there is this fleet-footed Isaac, easily able to run away from this 115-year-old dad Abraham, who was like a prune and who was hunched over in his old age. He could have easily gotten away from his father, who announced, when he asked, "Where's the sacrifice, Papa?" "You, son, are the sacrifice." And Isaac laid down. The Lord Jesus said there on that hill in the region of Moriah and Golgotha, "Not my will, but thine be done." He obeyed in passive obedience, laying himself down, doing the will, obeying his Father. You see, in his saying, "It is finished," all obedience is perfected. He laid himself down to the last breath. Spurgeon blesses the Lord Jesus saying this, "Oh yes, yes, glorious Lamb of God, it is finished. You have been tempted at all points like we are, yet you've sinned in none. It was finished. For the last arrow out of Satan's quiver had been shot at you. The last blasphemous insinuation, the last wicked temptation had spent its fury on you. The prince of this world had surveyed you from head to foot, within and without, but he had found nothing in you. Your trial is over. You have finished the work which your Father gave you to do, and so finished it that hell itself can't accuse you of a single flaw. The law could not demand of you one more hour of obedience. It's finished. Finished. You perfectly obeyed." That last strand of the flawless garment of righteousness had now been woven in, and the hem was secured. It was perfect. That garment of righteousness that Jesus had been weaving all of his life, now it was perfect from top to bottom. It was finished. You imagine, we look at it. Here we are, shamed, filthy, ragged sinners who know that we've got to stand before a holy, holy, holy God. Don't you yearn to wear such a thing? And how afraid we are and fearful we are in our filthy garments to come before a God like that. Oh, to have something like that to wear. It's finished. The garment of Christ's righteousness is finished. All obedience is perfected. So what does this mean? This "it is finished." All prophecies are fulfilled. All sacrifices are abolished. All obedience is perfected. Now fourthly and finally, all justice is satisfied. It is finished. All justice is satisfied. By that I mean sinners' infinite and eternal debts were at that moment paid down to the last penny. All justice is satisfied. This is a glorious thing, paid down to the last penny. It's a glorious thing because Matthew 5 refers to penniless, forever imprisoned cell dwellers in hell. And it says of them in Matthew 5, "And you shall not come out till you've paid the last cent." But Jesus says, it's finished. Finished, done, paid, down to the very last penny. The cup. Father, would this cup pass from me? But not my will, but thine be done. That there was a cup. And our hell was in the cup. And the Savior drank the cup. Not some of the cup, not most of the cup, but all of the cup. Finished. McLaren says this, having drained the cup, he held it upside down and he said, "It is finished." And when he said that, not a drop trickled down the side of the cup. It is finished. And if one drop had been left in the cup, and that drop wasn't put on your tongue or my tongue, that drop would cause us to forever writhe in agony, weeping and wailing and gnashing our teeth. But there's not even a drop left. It is finished. It's finished. The debt of hell-deserving sinners, it is finished. The wrath of hell-deserving sinners, it is no more for those who would believe upon the Lord Jesus. Spurgeon says this, "The great 12-thonged whip of the law was worn out on Jesus' back. And there's no lash left to be hurled against the child of God." Those straps that struck the back of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, not just for the moments on the cross, because for a moment in eternity, there was eternity in a moment, and there, the infinite person of the Lord Jesus Christ absorbed the infinite wrath of God for eternity, and those straps were worn down to nothing, so that when we would come in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is nothing left to hit us. Nothing left. Isaiah 53:5 and following says, "He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell on Him." Verse 10 says, "The Lord was pleased to crush Him, putting Him to grief." God crushed Him. God beat, chastened the Lord Jesus. One man drew it this way. He says, all the canons of God's justice pounded the Son of God during those moments on the cross. All the big guns of God's justice shelled the Savior. All the artillery of God's justice blasted and bombed the Messiah. But finally, the cannons of justice were exhausted of all of their ammunition. And there was nothing left to hurl at the Son of God. And there was silence. It's finished. What else? What else can be struck? What else can... No, it is finished. Justice is satisfied. The thunder of the law is silenced. And so, you know what, beloved? There's nothing less that... Nothing more that justice has to hurl at us. If we're in the Lord Jesus, it's finished. All the ammunition has hammered the Lord Jesus Christ. It is finished. And the cannons are silent. You realize that's something that the damned in hell will never be able to say. The damned in hell are there now, and they have been pounded for ages. Pounded by artillery. We hear of this, those IEDs, those roadside bombs that would blow up under a Humvee. And we read of the neurotrauma that happens, the concussion, the nausea that results from one having received such a blow. And it makes us tremble when one would be pounded like that. But those in hell have been shelled for ages with the thunder of God's justice. And when they'll be there 10,000 years, we sing that hymn, "Bright Shining as the Son, we could say when they've been there 10,000 years without the Son, there's no less days for them to be pounded by the wrath of God than when they first begun. Because those who are in hell can never say, it's finished. You know what? That's our lot. We who have rebelled against God, that is our lot, to be pounded forever under the wrath of God in hell. But for those who have fled to Christ for refuge, there is a tranquil peace, a quiet. We can hear the birds. It is finished. It's finished. There's peace. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So Jesus says, it is finished. And all the prophecies are fulfilled. And all the sacrifices are abolished. And all the obedience is perfected. And all justice is satisfied. That's what it means. It is finished. And let me just conclude here. As we see, this is good news. It's good news for sinners. And this is good news that needs to be told. Just let me conclude with a few applications, places where it needs telling. It's finished. First, tell it to the Muslims. Tell it to the Muslims who think that they're praying five times a day toward Mecca, or they're engaging in Monday and Thursday fasts, or think that they're reading the Quran can make them right with God. Tell them that their righteous deeds are just filthy rags. But tell them in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is a righteous garment that is offered to them in the gospel. It's finished. It's done. Tell it to Muslims. But tell it to Roman Catholics. I was one for years and years. Who think that doing ceremonies, because that's what I thought, if I do ceremonies, if I go to confession, if I give up something for Lent, if I attend Mass, by the way, where I kept re-crucifying and re-sacrificing a blood sacrifice of Christ over and over again, I was denying Christ's words, it is finished. Tell them, like I was told one day, it is finished. It is done. All sins have been atoned for. All sacrifice is ended. It's done, done, done. Sins past, present, and future paid for. But also we should tell it to ourselves. Believing Christians who are chronically tempted to become bewitched Galatians. I'm referring to Galatians 3 where Paul says, was not Christ crucified publicly before your very eyes? And now, having begun by faith, will you be seduced to perfect it, to finish it by the works of the law? That's me. We began by faith. And somehow, remember, you foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Sometimes we get bewitched too. We began by faith. And now sometimes we fall into this rut of trying to finish it by works of the law. In other words, gain our approval with God. We think to ourselves, yes, okay, yes, Jesus said it is finished. But not really for me. Because my approval and acceptance with God is based on my consistency in my personal devotions or my family devotions. Whether I read the Bible in the early morning or have enough backbone to read the Bible with my family, consistency at night. That's what my acceptance with God is based on. Or based on the fervency of my prayer life. If I'm there and if I'm earnest in prayer, then maybe I'm right with God. Or my approval is based on the intensity of my spiritual affections. Do I weep? Do I get stirred up emotionally? Maybe if I do, then God would approve of me. Or am I accepted with God? Well, that depends on whether or not I'm enjoying victory over my besetting sins or not. Beloved, we can become bewitched. into thinking somehow that we can come to the table tonight and come boldly to the table because we've been pretty good in our devotions, in our prayers, in our readings, in our fighting against that besetting sin. And if we are, we can come boldly. We're bewitched, accepted because of what we've done. And we think only when we have achieved success in those areas can we have boldness before God. Shame on us. We say it is not finished. But Jesus says, it is finished. Listen to what Flavel says. It is He, Jesus, who finished the work. What need for our own additions? Must we finish what Christ Himself could not? No, no, says Flavel. Jesus is no half-savior. He did it all. He finished it. Oh, Flavel says, it is a hard thing to bring these proud hearts to live on Christ for righteousness. Isn't it? Flavel goes on, we would pretend to add our penny to Christ's sum. You know what? Sometimes we would try to add our tear to Christ's sum. Somehow that would make us right with God. But Jesus says, it is finished. It is finished. Revelation 22, Jesus spoke about the Bible. All the words of this scroll, no one dare add to it, or they'll be doomed. What is true about the Bible is also true about our salvation. Let us not try to add anything to it by what we do. It is finished. Spurgeon says, why will you pin your rags to the fine linen of Christ's righteousness? How silly. Think of it. We can come to the table wearing the righteousness of Christ and down to the last strand, all hemmed up and secured. It is finished. Come to the table that way tonight. Not wearing that other stuff, that other filthy stuff that someone who is a liar, who would bewitch us, would tell us to wear. It's finished, beloved. It's finished. Tell it to ourselves. And then, having told ourselves, we should tell it to bruised reeds, tender people, tender brothers and sisters with tender consciences. You know who they are, people in your life. You talk with them about spiritual things. You say, oh, what a tender conscience you have. You're always seeming to say, what a wretched man am I. Who will rescue me from this body of death? How could God love such a worm as I? And you say, oh, they're sincere and they're not proud, but they fear and they tremble and they don't have much assurance. I tell it to you, bruised reeds. It's finished. Look here. It is finished. Oh, but you say, what if I backslide again? And then I backslide, and ultimately I go on the broad road, and I'm lost. Lost, what do you mean? You've embraced the Lord Jesus Christ. He paid your debt down to the last penny. It is finished. The debt that was paid by the Lord Jesus Christ cannot be charged to you a second time. It is finished. Rest in that. He's done it. He's finished it. That hymn that we sing, my sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole is nailed to the cross. You bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, your soul, it is finished. Drink that in. Swallow it. Take it in. Relish it. Glory in it. Bruised reeds. But also tell it to wild sinners. Do wild sinners, robust sinners, sturdy sinners. Some may have come here and I don't know who you are. I don't need to know who you are, but you may say, here's who I am. I have done vile things in my life. As I hear you say, it is finished. Pastor, preacher, you don't know where I've been. You don't know what I've done. You don't know the things that I have done. And how much light I have done it against. I've known the truths of God. And I have defied Him with my fist in His face. My debt, it's got to be unpayable. My stain on my garment, it's got to be unwashable. No, it's not. That's a lie. You come to the Lord Jesus Christ and it is finished. Who are you? Are you the foremost of sinners? Are you the chief of sinners? 1 Timothy 1. This is a trustworthy saying. Jesus Christ came into the world, Paul says, to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. He was one who persecuted the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. He had martyred. He had put to death the saints of the Lord Jesus Christ, the apples of Christ's eye. He had blood on his hand. If there is one who sinned against light, if there is one who defied God, he was a wolf tearing apart the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Christ paid the debt for him. It was finished. And so I would just say tonight, you ever been to a fair, and at the fair, at the booth, there they are, they're handing out t-shirts, free t-shirts. That Jesus tonight in the preaching of the word is handing out free garments of righteousness. You who are in filthy rags, the filthiest of the filthy, you think an unwashable stain here being handed out, garment of right. Here, take it. Take it by faith. Grab hold of it. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. The garment is finished. It can be yours. Take hold of it. Tell it to wild sinners. And all of us here, well, we don't know how many wild sinners are here. We should take a stack of these and take them out to the highways and the byways of this week and tell others about it. It's finished! Jesus on the cross has paid the debt for the worst of sinners. But lastly, not only tell it to Muslims, to Catholics, to ourselves, the brood reeds, and to wild sinners. Tell it back to God. It is finished. God loves to hear His clients glory and boast in and revel in His Son's finished work. It's finished! It's finished! Praise Christ for His unspeakable work. What a wonderful work it is. The psalm writer says, "Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being. Praise His holy name, for He pardons all my iniquities. It redeems my life from the pit." That's what we should do. We should stir ourselves up to praise God. It is finished, to say, "Alleluia, what a Savior. Alleluia, what a friend. And such a friend who hung on the cross for me long enough to drink it down to the last drop, long enough to say for me, it is finished." Let me ask you, what creature in all this universe is more blessed than you to have such a friend? None. You are privileged. You have glorious prospects. You have an inheritance kept in heaven that will never perish, spoil, and fade. Our hearts should leap with joy and praise our God as we say, "It is finished." And may that song in the heart be taken to the table as we rejoice in what our friend has done for us in hanging and saying, "It is finished." Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ, Your Son, and His dying in our place, and His finishing what You called Him to do. And we pray that tonight, as we eat and as we drink, we would do it in faith. And we pray that You would meet with us and sit with us and sup with us and do good in us to Your glory. Give us holy sincerity, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.